Revelation chapter number 3, start at verse number 15. This Laodicean church, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I hope by now you've got a better understanding what Jesus meant here. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Amen. Yes. Thank you for standing here for the reading of the word of the Lord. And the Lord would help us here for just a few moments. Amen. I would like to talk to us here once again about this sin of being lukewarm. I tell you, I don't want to be lukewarm, do you?
No.
We've dealt with several issues. Amen. Several aspects of this. And I'd like to get to the, what I think will be the end of it here. Amen. I don't want to get to the place where I'm independent. Amen.
Come on.
And we started off that aqueduct that was coming some 6 miles. Amen. When you're independent, you're too far away from the source of boiling point, the heat, and you're too far away from the source of being cold, so you're independent. Amen.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And when people become independent, they don't have a need for God. They don't have a need for a godly figure in their life. And it's a recipe for disaster,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. The lukewarm condition is a terrible condition to be in. Jesus said, I would that you were hot, boiling point, or that you were cold. Amen. Never to the place of knowledge, never to the place of being on fire for God. He said, I'd rather you be cold, that you didn't know nothing.
Yeah.
Amen. If we are not God dependent, amen, we will begin to decay spiritually and become ineffective for the Lord if we don't learn to depend upon the Lord. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Hallelujah. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell one to learn to be dependent upon him. Hallelujah. And I got on the near the end the other night about the sin of being lukewarm towards sin. Hallelujah. And that's where society is today. Here's where I want to pick up at. Today, society has a lukewarmness against sin. Oh, we know sin is bad, but it's not all that bad. Amen. I tell you what, I believe sin is bad, don't
yes.
you?
Yes, yes, it is.
Woo. I believe sin will take you to hell, don't you?
Sure.
My. One sin, amen, that's not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, I believe will take you to hell, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Instead of being lukewarm, if they were so cold to feel the bitterness, amen, the severity and deadness of the cold, that they would flee to the truth. Amen.
Yes.
Before you get a man saved, you got to get him lost.
That's
amen.
It.
Yeah. The Pharisees, for example, did not feel they needed to be saved. I want you, here's the generation we're in. The Pharisees were a religious bunch of people. They had rules that they kept. They had laws that they kept. I tell you what, they was far from being saved, amen.
Right.
They was far from the truth of the gospel. It's hard to get somebody that thinks they're already right saved, amen.
Right. Yep.
It's almost an impossibility, hallelujah.
Yep. Right.
Amen. Winning religious people is very difficult, amen. Oh, yes, extremely difficult, because they tend to rely on their religion and not on the Lord. Amen. I have religion. I have what I feel like I could call salvation. Amen.
Yes.
But I tell you what, all of my religion is still dependent upon Jesus Christ, Sister Dottie.
Right.
If Jesus had not died, if Jesus doesn't live and is not at the right hand of the Father, everything I believe is in vain. Amen. My religion still depends upon Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, yes. God's greatest desire is that we'll be on fire for him. Amen. The church did not deny the gospel. Amen. Their major problem, and I'm going to hit this, I hit some of these the other night, and here's where I'm going to try to move forward. Their major problem lay in the fact that they weren't hot. Amen. They had lost their enthusiasm. Amen. Oh, yes, they had lost their zeal. And I want us to picture ourselves. Don't think about somebody else in this church. Don't think about somebody else in another church that you're thinking. Think about you when you speak of these words. Where's your zeal at? Amen.
Right.
Do you still have a zeal towards God and towards the things of God? Is there still an urgency down in your heart to make heaven your home?
Yes.
I remember, Brother Earl, when I first got saved, I guess I thought about it every morning. I woke up and every night before I went to bed. God, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. Amen. I mean, there was an urgency there. I wanted to go to heaven. Hallelujah. There was an urgency there. I didn't want to sin. I didn't want to miss out. Praise God. I did not want to miss heaven as my home. I had an urgency. Hallelujah. And we hit this a little bit, and I want to focus a little bit more on this here tonight. Amen. There's no commitment today. Praise God. Amen. For Christ nor the things of Christ. People don't want to commit. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Hey, God. They just don't want to commit. They had religion but no power. Amen.
Right.
And there's three states that you can be in. You have to be burning, a burning heart that's on fire for God. Amen. And they said, did not our hearts burn and yearn within us while we yet walked with Him? Praise God. There is a frozen condition that you'll get in. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity, what is iniquity? Wickedness. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There's so much sin. There's so much wickedness. Amen. That the love of many has waxed cold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right.
Thank God. That's why Christians don't mingle with the world.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
That's why people of God, children of God, amen, don't go to worldly places. That's why we don't go to worldly crowds. Amen.
Yes.
That's why, Brother Tommy, I've been invited to parties before. I don't go to parties where they sit around and drink and carry on.
No.
Amen. That's not a place for me to be. Amen.
Right.
Brother Earl said they invited him a while back. I guess part of his job down there, they fill that pool up. Amen. That dream up on. They said, bring your family down. Hallelujah. Great God. Brother Earl don't hang out, drink the pool, even though it is free. Amen.
Right.
Great God. You know why? Because that's just ain't a place for a child of God to go. Amen.
Right.
Where everybody laying out half naked. Great God. Amen. Hey, I come to tell us there's places that you got to stay away from if you're going to keep the fire of God. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. And then there's hot, there's cold, and then there's lukewarm. A lukewarm heart of indifference. And I mentioned this word the other night, in apathy. Amen. Lack of concern. That's where we are today. People are in that lukewarm condition. There's no more concern about God or the things of God. And Jesus said, when you get into this place, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Amen. It's like an emetic, praise God, that we mentioned the other night. That's what you give somebody when they've had too much dump, or they've got something in their system they need to get out. You give them an emetic, and it makes them sick and they throw up. Hallelujah. Jesus said, that's what a lukewarm church is. It makes me sick. Hallelujah. Look at all that God has done for me. Amen. Look at all that Jesus has bled and died on Calvary that I could have life, and I can't sell out for Him. I'm lackadaisical and no interest and no concern and no desire and no commitment. I come to tell us, church, if there's ever a time that God needs a church that'll commit and say, Lord, you can't depend upon me, it's today. Hallelujah. I said, it's today. Lord, I want to commit. Amen. Is there anybody in this house? You don't even have to raise your hand. You contemplate this in your heart. This is more serious than what you think. Can God depend on you? Can you commit? Lord, I'll be a Christian on the job. I'll be a Christian at my house. I'll be a Christian at the church. I'll be a Christian everywhere I go. Amen.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Come in. Amen.
Amen.
An indication of a church's spiritual decay is witnessed by the fact that he or she speaks of herself and not of Christ. Amen. Woo. When you get to the place, they talk about me, 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 I, we, all we've done. We built churches. Look at all we've done.
Yeah. My Lord.
Woo.
Yeah, that. Oh, God.
I don't know. I don't even know why they did it. I've never seen it before. As far as I know, it's new. Down here on Jefferson Avenue, Church of God says, they got words on the building over now. It says, Jefferson Avenue, Church of God. Over here on one side. And then on the other side it says, to God be the glory. I like that.
Yes.
I like that. Amen. Drive by there, great big old facility over there. Jefferson Avenue, Church of God. Written that big old words on the side of that, on the front of that building. And on the other side it says, to God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, everything that happens of anything any good, God better get the glory. Amen. Your bills are paid. You better give God the glory, not me. Look what I've done. Amen. God give you a good house to live in. Amen. You ought to say, God, and to God be the glory. I got a home that I can lay my head in tonight. Praise God. You go out there and turn the key and that starter hits. Great God. And that car starts up and that air conditioner starts blowing, hitting you in the face here, man. You ought to raise your hand and say, to God be the glory. God has been good to me. Amen. Great God, don't get to the place, amen, where you forget what God has done. Jesus said they were wretched. They were distressed. Amen. Come on. Amen. They got to the place of lukewarmness where it didn't mean anything to be saved anymore. Amen.
Right.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Amen. The Lord said they were miserable. They were pitiful. The Lord looked upon them with pity. They possessed much for this life, but had nothing for the life to come.
Hallelujah.
Woo! I'm not prepared tonight to get into this, but I want to be in the near future. Amen. Great God. Did you hear that? They were, amen, they possessed much of this life, but they had nothing for the life to come. Amen. Glory to God. They were poor. Let me ask you, have you laid up treasures in heaven? They were poor. They were blind. They were naked. They were poor, though they had gold. They were blind, even though, amen, they made eye salve and eye powders. They were still blind. They were naked, even though they produced, amen, soft and even black wool. Amen. To be naked meant defeat and humiliation. The Laodiceans were not satisfied with the promises of God. Listen to this. They endeavored to satisfy themselves with things. Listen to this. They were like a dog, amen, with a bone that saw himself in a clear pool of water beneath his feet. The dog let go of his bone to take the bone out of the mouth of the dog that he saw in the reflection of the water. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. He ended up losing the bone that he had because he was reaching after something that wasn't even there. Hallelujah. Didn't that sound like a lot of people today? Amen. Oh, you're dissatisfied with what you have and trying to get something that ain't even really there. It's just a reflection, amen, of something else. Great God in heaven. Amen. This was the Laodiceans' condition. Amen. They want it. They want it. They want. I wonder if in America today, if that's not the place that we're at. Amen. We've got great things. Amen. We got more than we've ever had, but we've got less than we've ever had.
Right.
Amen. Do you hear this? We've got greater cars than we've ever had. We've got greater homes. We've got better jobs. We're making more money than we've ever had in the history of time. But great God, Jesus said, you're miserable. You're pitiful. You're wretched. Your soul is starving to death. Oh, I come to tell us, why don't you get hungry for the things of God? Why don't you hunger for spiritual things and not materialistic things? Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
this podcasting.
Jesus.
That's a great way to get news out, I guess.
Holy God.
I've been listening to this one podcast here lately, and it goes along these lines. It interests me. Amen. This one fellow, he has been in 50 different countries. He loves to travel. And I guess he must have a lot of money to be able to go to 50 countries. But he's actually, I guess you would call it a minimalist. He hardly spends any kind of money. He's nomadic. He doesn't even own a home. So he said he don't have to pay for a house and taxes and upkeep. So he travels. And you can get good deals on this, all this Airbnb and going places to stay for 2 or 3 or 6 months at a time. So that's how he does a lot of this. But anyway, he's talking about, he said, really Americans need to travel abroad. He said, really, Americans need to go outside of America to see how much you could live without, praise God. And he talks about how in America we've got 3 and 4 and 5 cars sitting in a driveway. Yep. Woo. Over there they got, I forget, he spit off the statistics. In America, to a household of 4, amen, we average, and I don't know how you do this, but we average 3.5 cars. Hey, have a half car. I understand they probably do a big number and divide it up. The household of 4, I think, it averages like 3.5 cars in America. And in other countries, to a household of 4, you average 2 bikes. They travel on bikes with carts. They go to grocery stores and haul their groceries back in carts.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have heart attacks like we do in a tri-state area.
Yeah.
Because they're healthy from riding a bike.
That's the truth.
We live a mile from the grocery store, and it wears us out to drive a mile or two down the road to go to the grocery store. Air-conditioned car, start it up. Amen.
Yeah.
Woo.
Come on.
Where are you getting that, Brother Jason? Well, really what I like to get us to focus on, I wonder how much of that stuff that we waste to spend our money on, and then we got to add hours to our work life, amen, for all the things that we think we need that we might not need.
Amen. Yeah, that's true.
The truth.
Wow.
Amen. That's
true.
And then we get ourselves in a lukewarm spiritual condition because we have to spend so much time, amen, gathering and accumulating things in this old world.
Yeah.
Amen. And I go for lots of yards nowadays and come across a lot of good deals. Matter of fact, I looked at a stackable washer dryer. Sister Kathy had asked me if we could find, maybe get a washer dryer, put this house over here, and we just have to run the hookups. And I said, that'd be fine. So we had just talked about that. And somebody in Mofort, the old lady died, and they're cleaning that house out. And that guy asked me to come in today. He said, I want you to come in and look at this stuff. And if you know anybody needs any of this, you let me know. Amen. And they had a brand new, he said, they just bought it last year, brand new stackable washer and dryer. Hallelujah. He said, now, and I'm behind times. Amen. He said, but anyway, he said, we just paid $1,300-something for this last year. Amen. I can't remember what he said, $4 or $4.75. He said, if you want this, we'll give it to you real cheap for just cleaning the house out. Amen. Great God. Amen. But once again, amen, I said all that to say this. Here this poor old lady is somewhere in the grave. They just buried her. And I walked in this house, Brother Tom. Amen. The son's already got everything he needs. Here's her furniture. I think they said they're going to give Kathy the dinette table, 6 chairs and a great big hutch and china cabinet. Got all this stuff. The son's just wanted it out of there. Amen. I just wanted out of here. He said, I'm getting ready to sell this house. Amen. I just want rid of this stuff. Praise God. And I thought to myself, I just had a me moment, and I thought, wow, amen. That woman, no doubt, amen, strove to try to buy them bedroom suits one day. That woman really tried to lay up and buy that dinette set and that big old china hutch. Amen. Washer and dryers. All that stuff in that house. And now she's dead, and somebody else just, amen, getting it for a rummage sale. That's the way life, amen, is things really worth it, amen? Oh. I said, is things really worth it? Thank God the result is, amen, that things, amen, do not create happiness. Amen, here's what I'd like to preach on in the near future. What really makes one happy in life? Does a brand new Tesla make you happy? Does a brand new Ford truck make you happy? Thank God we got more stuff than we've ever had. But Jesus said you're wretched. You're miserable. Hey, thank God in that. I tell you what will make one happy. a pursuit of godliness, a pursuit of spiritualness, amen, keeping the commandments of God, loving God, that's the only thing brings happiness. It's not the things of this world.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I feel like we've steered away, and I'm going to go. I've really done a lot of praying and thinking and searching and meditating about a lot of things, Brother Tommy. In the church world in general, especially in the Holiness Church, we hardly ever preach about money.
Right.
Because we read one verse of Scripture over there, and it says the love of money is the root to all evil. And that is truth. That's the Word of God. I believe it with every fiber in me.
Right. Sure.
But we are to teach our young people. We are to teach, believe it or not, there's middle-aged, older, there's all sorts of people that don't know how to use money.
Come on.
Right, right.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Amen. Money's a very valuable asset. Jesus didn't say that if a man had a lot of money, he couldn't go to heaven.
No.
People twist that verse, amen. Abraham, God, better get back to being lukewarm here. Abraham was a wealthy man. Job was a wealthy man. There's all kinds of men in the Word of God that was wealthy, and I believe they're in heaven today. But what he said was the love of money. Hey, God, amen. Amen. Want money so I can get a little bit more of this world. Want money so I can climb that social ladder just a little bit more. I tell you what that is. That's a spirit of lukewarmness, amen. That's a spirit of, amen, of worldliness. Getting a hold of your heart. Money, amen, can be a very valuable thing. God needs money in his economy. God needs money in his church. Amen, but we must learn how to use money right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Great God, there's hardly anything that'll destroy the ministry of a preacher, amen, than him not knowing how to handle money.
Come on.
Yeah. Woo!
Yes, buddy.
Yeah. Great God.
Woo.
You be a crook with money, your ministry will be ended overnight.
Yeah.
You don't pay your bills, amen. Great God, amen, your ministry can end overnight. Amen. We got to learn how to handle the things that God has given us.
Right. Yeah. True.
The Laodiceans, amen, the result that they do not enjoy the blessings that they already had. This was the Laodicean condition. Listen to this, and I got to move on. The story is told of a man who dreamed of a married couple that came to an open grave. There was a junk pile beside the grave, and on the other side of the grave was the gates of heaven. The man carried his stocks and his bonds and his gold, and the woman carried her jewels and her gates, amen, her jewels, rather, to the gates of heaven. And the angel met them at the gate and asked them, amen, what was the stuff that they were so tightly holding, amen.
Yeah.
The couple replied, it's just stuff from life, amen. This is the fine wealth of the world, they said. We spend our life accumulating this stuff, amen. The angel replied, don't worry, throw it to the side. You won't need it over here. Woo, glory to God. Throw it in the junk pile like everything else just before the gates of heaven. Good to see you, Brother Anthony. Just before the gates of heaven was the junk pile, amen.
Yeah.
And people had all this stuff that they thought they so dearly needed. But before they could get in the gates of heaven, they had to throw it over in the junk pile. Glory to God. Amen. That angel told them, listen, folks, we use that kind of stuff up here to pave the streets. Sir, that gold you have in your hand, it's what's the pavement and the surface up here.
Yeah.
Great God, man, those jewels, those precious stones that you have right there, that's just in the foundation of the buildings up here. Glory to God. What we value in heaven is not stuff. We value the souls of men and women. And I come to beckon us tonight, why don't we learn to value the souls of men and women down here? Hey, I come to challenge you today, quit valuing stuff, quit valuing money and gold and jewels down here. Value souls, the soul of man will never die. Hey, I hate to see that cat get hit out there. My knees was weak for 30 minutes. Not over that cat. I heard the thud, and I thought somebody got hurt. I hate to see a cat die. Amen. But a person has a soul that's going to last forever, going to live forever. And I come to tell you, in heaven, they value souls. Not gold, Brother Earl. Not money. Not possessions. Not homes. Not prestige. Not being the vice president of a company. But in heaven, all that matters is what is the condition of your soul. Yes.
Holy God.
Woo!
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Pray for me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
My Lord.
Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Oh, God. I got to move on here. We have a lukewarmness about our Christian integrity. Amen. We got to learn to pay our debts, don't we?
Yes, sir.
We got to learn to be upstanding citizens in society. Woo. We got to learn not to be dishonest.
Yes.
Some time ago, amen, a retail grocer showed a pastor a list of people. It's been years ago, of course, when they would let you do this. Keep tabs when they'd let you charge up a bill. When you got paid, you had to come in and pay on your bill.
Yeah.
Amen. And this grocer said, I can't hardly do this anymore. Look at all the names on the list here. And the pastor was embarrassed because a lot of them was people, members of his church, that never paid their bill. Hallelujah. Great God. Woo! Amen. I understand there is a fine line of if you can and if you can and all sorts of things like that. I tell you, I don't want to go in eternity owing, amen, for my bill. Hallelujah. Oh, no. Great God. Amen. As I said a while ago, I don't want to fail in money. Amen. If I can't control and run my own house, come on now, how can I run the house of God? Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. A church has to be upstairs. We got to be responsible with money. We got to be responsible with what God has given me. Oh, amen. When we got this church, the church was given to us. It was in rough shape. You can see parts of the roof on the top where the shingles had blown off. When you parked out there in the parking lot, it was mud. If it rained, you had to walk in the mud. We put a roof on. We put parking lot in out there. We remodeled inside this church. Great God. And when this church was given to us, it had a little bit of money in the bank. Amen. Great God. We moved in here and remodeled this whole place. I'm pretty sure we've spent over $100,000 since we've been here in the last 12 years. And it bothered me. Every time we had dipped down below that amount it had when they give us the church, I'd lose sleep. I'd lose rest. I'd say, oh God, I don't want to mishandle what you've given us, Lord. Come to tell us, I want to handle what God has given me right. I want to teach my kids to be honest. I want to teach the church. Let's be honest. Let's pay our tithes. Let's give to God. Hey, we got to go to heaven one day, church. This is important. I don't want to stand before God and God say, you robbed me. Where have I robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. I want to be responsible with what God has given me.
Thank you, Lord.
Right. Woo!
Praise God.
Yes.
Glory.
I'm going to preach along these lines a little more. This will blow some of you out of the water. We ought to, the minimum we should be able to give God is the tenth of what he's given us.
That's right.
Every, God owes, he owns everything.
Right.
He owns it all. But God goes out and gives me the health and the strength to make $1,000. The least Brother Tom I could do is give him 100 of it back.
That's right.
Because God, all 1,000 of us, God's.
Yeah.
But God has been good to Jason. Give me a good strong back. Help me today when I was up there on that board, I couldn't see for about the first 4 yards of mowing. I couldn't see nothing. I just kept praying, Lord, don't let me take out somebody's fence. Amen. Glory. Yeah. And as the day got going, I got to feel a little bit better. Amen. Thank God. So every time I made today was the Lord's, I didn't make it on my own. Amen. Yeah, come to tell us. Amen. God, I want to learn to give you more and more. I want to learn, God, to give you everything.
Praise God.
There is this minimalistic movement, and I realize you might have looked into some of it, but they teach, and I understand there's all kinds of different groups and sects of people, but they really teach that a person ought to be able to live on half of what he makes. That's what they teach. You ought to live on one payday and put the other payday up. Live on, you know, if you get paid every week, live on one payday and put the other payday up. Woo! Amen. That way you don't have to work till you're 65 years old. Amen. That way one day, amen, you'll be able to quit work. Amen. In the essence of 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, till you're 65 years old. Amen. And if you live on half of what you make, amen, lower your expense. I know that's going to blow some people out of water. Amen. Even the government can't do this. You got to learn to live on less than you make. Hallelujah. Is that foreign to anybody? You know, government don't have to do that. We just keep adding to the national debt, pushing down the price of the dollar. Hallelujah. Keep printing more. Amen. But we got to learn to live on less than we make. And that way we'll be able to store up. That way we'll be able to give. Hey, boy, I got on this tonight. Amen. Somebody said, amen, if you can't give, God knows that. Amen, but my problem is, people say they can't give, and they go on 5-10 vacations every year. They put them, they're sure taking care of me. They sure pamper self. Great God, but they left God somewhere. Amen, by the wayside. I don't want to stand in judgment one day, knowing I could have gave, and I should have gave, but I didn't give.
Yeah, yes, Lord. It's right.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
True, Lord, true.
Christian integrity. I want to be an upstanding citizen, don't you?
Sure. Yes.
Wow. Amen. Woo. You didn't know he's getting all this, did you?
Come on.
We have a lukewarmness today about being obedient to Christ.
Right.
He is not only to be our Savior, He is to be the Lord of our life.
Right.
We are to learn from the Bible what He wants us to do, and we are to do what He has commanded us to do.
Right.
We are not to be lukewarm about His commandments. We ought to say, this is His Word, and I will obey it. When the Jews returned to the Holy Land, they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem. And when the work had been finished, they said, now we want to hear, amen, great God in heaven, God's word. And the scriptures were brought forth. And the Bible said that Ezra read to the people from dawn until noon. And they stood and listened to the word of the Lord being read. They saw where they had violated his commandment. And they wept and they said, we want to get our lives in line with his word. Do I got anybody in this house that would say, Brother Jason, I don't want to be lukewarm, but I want to line my life up with his word. I want to, amen, great God, compare my life to the word of God and mark up, amen.
Oh, come on now.
And God forgave them and God blessed them, and that's what we'll have to do today.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
If you want to get the blessing of God, somebody said, God's against me. God has cursed me. Most of the time, that's not the case.
Right.
But if you really feel that way, the only way to reverse that is, amen, is to repent and say, oh, God, I want to get my life in line with your word.
Right.
And then God will flip it around, turn things around.
Yes, he will.
Woo!
Yes, Lord. That's good.
Go to the Bible.
to see what, see about the Church of Jesus Christ. And then ask yourself the question, am I lined up with the church?
No.
Amen. Am I faithful? Do I put the church above every other institution in my life? Is the Church of Jesus Christ in my life above everything else?
Come on, come on, come on.
This is old-fashioned preaching right here.
Come on.
Do I value... Listen to me. I love my family. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a family man.
Right.
People talk about it everywhere I go. They said, well, we was clear up in Ohio. And Brother Randy Webb was up there. He said, man, them kids love you, don't they? And he picked up on that. He said, he told me this. It was a compliment to me. He said, I can tell you do what's right at the house because of the way they treat you in public.
Right.
Woo! It made me feel good. Amen. For about 2 minutes. Hallelujah. Ain't got till you get in the van and they scream and cry all the way home. Woo! Amen. Ain't got in heaven. But oh, amen. Is the Church of Jesus Christ lifted up in your life? Hey, come on. Is it more important than your job? Is it more important than your family? Is it more important than your meal? Hey! Hey! Hey, God! I said, is it important? I tell you what, I prayed. I come and said, dialing your number, Brother Tommy. Hey, about 3 o'clock, I kept praying. I'd feel better as the day went on, but I never felt no good. And I said, I'm going to call Brother Tommy, see if he's got anything on his heart. And then I thought, well, I hate to put him on the spot. Maybe I'll call Brother Earl. Well, he's probably tired. He worked today, too. Amen. I said, Lord, send somebody or let one of these brothers get wound up and take it tonight. Or give me the strength and I'll preach. And thank God, you know why? Because I know there's only 18 of us on a Thursday night. But I know how important this is. I know how eternal this service is. In eternity one day, there'll be somebody remember this sermon and say, I remember when my pastor preached that I couldn't get lukewarm and I had to put God above everything in my life.
Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't want to be lukewarm, sir. I don't want to be lukewarm. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Ooh. Am I faithful?
Yeah.
To the church, am I faithful to God? Am I faithful to the cause of God?
Right.
Do I put it above everything else? Do I pay my tithes? Do I give? Do I give them up my time? Amen. We got several things we need to do coming up. Sister Kathy's got a list. We got things we need to fix up around here. Amen. I've took on too much work, and that's neither here nor there. Amen. Usually I keep things up, but I have worked Monday through Friday and sometimes Saturday all summer long. Amen. I picked up a bunch of work because them guys said they wanted to work, and then one guy quit. And then we've had all this rain. Amen. And then just like today. Amen. My intention was to be off by about 2 today. Have me plenty of time to come study, get ready for church tonight. When God didn't show up, that's the way my whole summer's went. So when they don't show up, I got a massive migraine. Oh, Jason gets to keep on working. Amen. And then I sent Gary. He was by himself and I had to deal with me. So I sent Gary to go do some yards. He never told me that. I would say he talked him out. Amen. Gary's like it. If he didn't want to do it, he'll say, I think these yards will be all right till next week. And before I know it, he went home and Michelle said he beat me home by hours. Amen. And so here I'm out till 4:30, massive migraine. One guy never showed up, another guy went home. Hey, God, that's the way my, amen, my summers went. Amen. Hey, but great God, amen, I want to put God in God's work first. Come on now. And I believe if you learn to do that, God will bless you. Amen.
Yes, he will. Yes.
Woo!
Praise, yes, he will.
Yes.
Thank God.
Amen. I'm going to get all this. I'm the one that didn't feel good, and I'm now feeling better. Hallelujah.
Come on, buddy. Come on.
So I'm going to get this before I'm done here. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you partake in the Lord's Supper? Some people won't even take in the Lord's Supper. Some people won't even do foot washing. Hallelujah. Some people, amen, they don't obey the Lord in baptism. Thank God. They won't do what the Lord tells them to do. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if you're not putting God first, you got that spiritual of lukewarmness. Amen. That spirit and that sin of being lukewarm, getting a hold of your heart, amen.
Yes. Amen. Some Christians are lukewarm about reading the Bible. They'll read the Reader's Digest. They'll read Sports Illustrated. They'll read love stories and love magazines, and they'll even read articles on the computer, and they'll read Facebook and all this other stuff, but they won't read the Word of God.
Come on. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Greatest book of all time.
Yes. Yes.
That word that'll help you more than anything.
Right.
And it lays there with dust on its covers.
Amen.
True.
Woo.
Today, Christians know more about society and the pop cultures and everything that's going on. Great God, they kept that queen out so long. I figure she was stinking in that coffin as long as they kept her out. Woo.
Yeah,
we're so caught up in the royalty over here and all that stuff, it makes me sick. It really does.
Yeah.
We're so caught up, and we know more about all that stuff than we do Queen Esther. Hallelujah.
True.
Yeah.
Woo.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible is God's gift to man. Hallelujah. It's His love letter to His people. We ought not to be lukewarm about the Word of God.
Right. True.
A woman said to Mr. Moody one day, "You made me a perfect wretched rich by your preaching today." I read this, this stirred my heart. You said that you pitied anybody who had never had the luxury of leading someone to Jesus Christ. She said, "I've never had this privilege to lead someone to Christ." Amen. I've never been able to do this. When I was first married, she said, I thought my husband was near to the kingdom and I thought I could win him. She said, but all these years, he's went further away and not closer to. Amen. So I guess maybe with some insight by the Lord, Mr. Moody got to hone it in on her. Dwight Moody said, "Let me ask you a few questions, ma'am. Do you ever lose your temper and blast your husband?" She just hung her head and had to answer, "Yes, yes, sir, I'm guilty of that." "Then when you want to talk to him about religion, don't you feel like, amen, you've lost your witness and you've lost your pull?" I guess they had some type of business. And he said, "Do you ever blaze out and blurt out, amen, treat your servants and your employees with disrespect and holler and talk to them bad?" And she hung her head and said, "Yes, Mr. Moody, I sure have." Amen. And he zeroed in on her. And he said, "Well, instead of praying that your husband would be saved, shouldn't we pray, amen, that you would be changed?"
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. All right.
Sir.
All right.
I think it was 10 days later, the story read. I won't read you the whole story. It said that she came back to Mr. Moody and she said, "I thank you, brother, for preaching to me straight. I thank you for preaching to me the truth." Amen. And I want you to notice right here, amen, she said, "I took your advice and I went home and I prayed."
Yes.
"And I hugged my husband and I apologized for all them times I was disrespectful and I talked to him bad and I lost my temper and I screamed in my heart." Amen. And she said, "I asked him for forgiveness." Amen. And she said, "I think it was the 10th day," she said, "amen, the Lord finally smote his heart and I held his hand while I prayed him through to old time salvation." Amen. Great God. Why'd you say that, Brother Jason? Are you able to be able to take instruction? Amen. If the preacher tells you something, do you puff up and pout out and get mad and say, "I don't got listen to that"? I thought about couples. Amen. Amen. A lot of times couples, they don't always agree. Sometimes maybe they disagree. And if every time they had a disagreement, one would jump up and say, "I don't got to put up with this. I'm going to pack my bags and leave." There's no commitment in that. Odds are that marriage will be split up. Great God. Amen. There's no
but she prayed it through, and she won her husband to Christ instead of puffing up and getting mad.
Yes, Lord.
Well, the first thing I've noticed, I've got a lot of learning to do, but I've noticed when people puff up and get mad.
Amen.
You know why that is? Because they got a spirit of lukewarmness down there.
That's it.
Woo!
That's it.
They got that sin and lukewarmness down there in their heart.
And it's easier to run than it is to deal with the problem.
Yeah.
Woo! Amen, or old
friend. Great God. I really am trying to help us now, Brother Roy.
Come on, Brother
Jason. It's longer than I usually preach. Maybe I won't get a headache very often. Amen. No, really. I've preached on this 3 times. I don't want to make a 4th. I'm done. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Woo. Great God. We're lukewarm not only about our Bible reading, we're lukewarmness. Amen. Not only about fasting, I don't even have time to get into that. We're lukewarm about our prayer life.
Right.
So true.
Right.
True. We know the promises of prayer. We know God answers prayer.
Yes.
We know miracles happen when we pray.
Yeah.
We know that prayer shakes the foundations, amen,
right,
of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Woo! But we jump into bed at night and we whisper a little prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord. I don't know how it goes. My soul to keep.
Yep.
I forget that old song we prayed when I was a kid, something about that old dog named Jake. Woo! Great God. We know how powerful prayer is. Prayer is the most powerful thing any one of us has or could have in our life.
Yes, sir.
We neglect prayer.
Amen.
Jesus.
Come on. True.
Oh, God.
Yes. Oh, God.
We spend more time with pivotal things that mean nothing than we do prayer.
Amen.
Wow. Right?
I'm telling you the truth, church. I'm trying to go slow here and let it sink in.
Yes.
We're missing out on the power of prayer.
Yes, sir.
For what? For all that junk outside the gate. Mm-hmm. I was preaching about her a while ago.
Right.
It was going to the gates of heaven. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a pile of junk, and then there was the gates of heaven, and the angels were there, and they said, they've carried all this stuff. The angel said, you can't come in here. You got to throw that over in the pile of junk. Woo! We're missing out on the most precious, most powerful gift
yes.
I believe God has given to the church
yes.
for junk.
Junk.
Precious Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.
The power of prayer, Brother Anthony. I know this, prayer will give you more happiness than a Tesla will.
Amen.
Woo.
I know it will.
I've been around prayer warriors. You've been around prayer warriors. There's nothing like when you really connect with God.
Right.
There's nothing
right.
that can compare to that.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Wow.
Yes.
There's nothing, Brother Earl, compared to that. When you really get a hold of God, the power of prayer, we're lukewarm in that gift that God has given us. I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you. Don't think about nobody else. This is for you. What is taking your prayer time?
Right.
What are you putting in the place of your prayer time?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting back to my 5-minute rant sermon intro a while ago. You have to work way extra and way more to buy all that stuff that you don't need when you could be praying?
Mm. Yes.
Woo. Mm.
Yes, Lord.
Brother Jason, you against that? No, that's not what I'm against. But the older I get, the more I realize that one of these days we're going to get to the gates and have to get rid of the junk.
Yeah.
Wow.
If we get in.
If we get in, we've got to get rid of the junk.
Yep.
Woo, stay with me across this house. My priesthood in my heart here, these 3 sermons.
Yes, you have.
Lastly, we're lukewarm about our Christian service. Amen. God would give us a group of workers that would serve God again. I never seen Jesus. He said, what was that scripture where? Help me with it. Help me think straight. That scripture where that said that the harvest is plenteous,
forgive you.
Look at the harvest, man. I see the wheat drooping over. It's so full.
They said, Bill loves fruit. We work for these people. I do too. But we work for people who got apple trees. We work for one guy who's got a peach tree. And this new guy over here, he's got a pear tree.
Man, that old pear tree's loaded, Brother Tommy. And branches are almost touching the ground.
Wow.
Woo. Plumb full of pears. But that poor old feller's had his leg took off. He can't even get out there and pick them. Need somebody to get out there and pick the pears. Harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Can God depend on you in this last hour? Mm-hmm. Can God depend on you in this last day? Or are we going to social network our way into the pearly gates and have to throw the junk away?
Come on.
Then when we get there, we realize we ain't prayed. We don't even know who Queen Esther is, but we know who Queen Elizabeth is. And we get, and our life is so upside down, and hey, we've got campers and boats. And I don't want it to sound off like I'm against these things. I'm not against these things. And if you can afford them and be faithful to God and be faithful to church, amen, and keep all those things intact and you can get that stuff, that's fine. But the problem is most people can't keep their life intact with all this other stuff.
That's the truth.
Something's going to go and give. And most of the time, it's the Lord.
Yep.
It's God.
Yep.
Amen. Hallelujah. I've tried to preach to you in my heart. What a wonderful privilege you have. I told myself that back there a while ago. Well, it's church time. I got to go to church tonight. No, no, no. You ain't got to go. You get to go to church tonight. Don't look at it like that. I got to go to church. If I don't go to church, Brother Jason, you're going to get mad. You're going to call me and say where I'm at. I got to go to church.
Jesus.
It ain't that you gotta go, you get to go.
Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Brother Tommy said, well, I gotta get ready and I gotta teach my Sunday school lesson on Sunday morning. I gotta do that. He gets to do that.
Yeah. You got it.
Woo.
Amen.
I got to get down here and pray for my family or they're going to go to hell. No. That's your great privilege. You get to pull them out of the flames. How are you approaching it? I tell you, our main problem, church, and this had me stirred. Our main problem is that spirit of lukewarmness has got a hold of our heart and we feel like it's a treachery to do anything for God.
That's it.
We feel like it's a favor for us to come in and plop down on a Thursday night or on a Sunday. God, you better be glad I'm here. We've got the wrong mentality.
Yeah. Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
We get to come to his house. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Woo! My. I've tried to preach to you here today. Oh, Jesus, may it be, Lord. I thank you, God. It's been a long 3-sermon series. Lord, I feel like I delivered in my heart what you gave me. 3 sermons now. Lord, I wish the whole church 100% could have been here in attendance each one of these sermons, but I can't control that. Lord, this one thing I do pray. That you'd let this change somebody's heart. Lord, let this change somebody's way of thinking. Amen. The main problem is that spirit of lukewarmness has got a hold of them. God, that spirit of lukewarmness is taking them under. Hallelujah. Thank you, church. Thank you. Let's gather in this altar up here. It'd do us some good to gather in here and pray. It does some good to get in here and say, Lord, I want to rebuke that spirit of lukewarmness. It's getting a hold on me.
I'd rather.
rather have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus. Oh,